It's good to see everyone this morning. If you would be opening your Bibles for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll be there here shortly. Hebrews chapter 5. I always enjoy hearing the little ones sing. I don't know what they're saying, but they're singing. Sometimes I hear my own self sing and don't quite know what I'm singing either. It's always a wonderful opportunity we have when we can come together and praise our Heavenly Father together. And the reason why I like to hear the kids sing is because it's showing a pattern they're being taught, an example that's being established for them. And it's like anything else. When we have young people, we want to teach them in such a way that builds blocks so that as they get older, they'll have a greater understanding of serving God, and it not be foreign to them, it not seem strange to them, but yet a pattern of life that's natural because they've been raised seeing this and being a part of it. If you're visiting here with us today, we want you to know that you are a welcome guest. If you have any questions about something maybe we do or something we say, we'd more than happy to sit down and study with you from the wonderful Word of God. As has already been announced real quick, next week starts our gospel meeting with Brother Stephen Harper from the Avenue Inn Church of Christ in Rosenberg, Texas. I've known Stephen for a number of years and have had many occasions to talk with him. He's very knowledgeable in the Word of God, and he will do a very fine job in bringing the lessons this next week. He had hoped that his wife Anita would be able to come with him, but the plans were not able to be put together. She had other things that she's got to take care of. So he will be here by himself, but still, let's plan to be here, support the meeting, and be here present and get to know Stephen and come together to study the Word of God together. And that's why I want to talk to you this morning about a very simple subject, the benefits of worshiping together. When we have a gospel meeting, we come together multiple times during the course of the week. In the current state of the way we do gospel meetings, we meet from Sunday, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And each time we come together is another opportunity to praise our Heavenly Father together in songs, another opportunity to bow our heads in prayer together and offer up prayers of thanksgiving unto Him, another opportunity to sit down and share together in the wonderful Word of God. So the lesson I'll be talking about this morning could apply to any and all worship services, but just as a good reminder of why it would be beneficial to be here for our gospel meeting. And we'll be looking at four benefits that come from us assembling together, I should say come to us, for assembling together to worship our Heavenly Father. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that when we come together to worship the Lord, it helps us to grow in knowledge and in understanding. And this is very crucial to our existence as Christians. We have to know who it is that we worship. We have to understand how we worship and what He would have of us. We have to understand what He has done for us and the truths and the doctrines that are taught within His Word. So when we assemble together, it helps us to grow in this knowledge and understanding. The folks to whom the Hebrew letter was written, they had not stayed with properly growing. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 suggests that some of them had begun to abandon the assembling of themselves together. And so by so doing, they were robbing themselves of opportunities to be taught the Word of God, to share in their knowledge with others so they might grow. And so, as a result, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning there in verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Notice that. He says, you should be teachers by now. You should be able to teach others about Christ and all that He has done, especially the first principles of the oracles of God. But he says, as a result, you have come to need milk and not solid food. There were things the writer here really needed to address and to deal with. But because of their lack of growth, they didn't have the proper mature understanding needed. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's okay to be a babe for as long as you're supposed to be a babe. Think about babies and how they grow and what's expected of them as they grow. As children of God, we begin as a babe in Christ and our obedience to the gospel's call into salvation. But the Lord expects us to grow in our knowledge, to grow in our understanding, to mature. And the brethren here, they had not grown in such a fashion. They still needed someone to come along and teach them the first principles. He said, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we come together so that we may grow. Now, this is not the only time we study the Bibles. We encourage brethren to study your Bibles at home daily. But this is a definite collective concerted effort that we put forth so that we all may grow. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he talks about showing ourselves approved unto God and in a very specific area nonetheless. Notice what he says here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, there in verse number 15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The New American Standard Version renders it accurately handling the word of truth. And so there is an expectation on the part of our Heavenly Father for us to grow, for us to become more knowledgeable of His Word. One more passage, and then we'll move on to the next benefit. The next passage we're going to look at real quick is Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, he gives them a good overall understanding of what they need to do so that they might be mature, so that they might be adults, if you would, in handling the Word of God and not simply children. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, let's start our reading of verse 11, and he's talking about Christ, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we shall no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He's talking about us. He's talking about our working together and our being taught and reminded of the wonderful Word of God so that we all can grow to maturity, so that we all can do our part by what every joint supplies causes growth of the body of Christ. And when we assemble together to worship the Lord, this is what happens. And this is why we're having our gospel meeting, to offer many opportunities for us to continue in this growth. But let's continue forward now to the second benefit. Growing, us coming together as children of God, worshiping Him, helps all of us to grow in our faith and our trust in the Lord. Now, the passage we're going to look at is a very simple one, and there is a context to this passage. But I want to pull a small but yet important truth from this, and we'll build upon it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren in Rome, he talks about how the apostles had been sent out to preach the word of the Lord. And he does talk about, going back in verses 14, 15, and 16, how that some, as Isaiah said, Lord, who has heard our report. But then he says in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The idea of faith, in the context that we're looking at, carries the idea of conviction. carries the idea of persuasion. Now, you cannot be convicted of a particular point if you don't have the knowledge of that point. You cannot be persuaded to do something if you don't have and understand the reasons why you should do that. So the more we study the Word of God, the greater our persuasion grows, the greater that our conviction grows, the greater then that our faith grows. And in the text here, Paul says it plainly that our faith, this conviction, comes by the Word of God. So the more we hear, the more we study, the more we establish within our hearts and minds the necessary foundation for our faith to grow, to be fostered, to be properly established. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, to aid in that growth of our faith, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that he is supposed to be teaching the Word of God. And notice what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there in verse 2. He says there, "And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses," he says, "commit these to faithful men." Okay, why? "Who will be able to teach others also." Sometimes at parties, you may have played, if you're old enough, you're young enough, I don't know if you still do this type of stuff, but it's kind of the message game. I can't remember now what they call it, but anyway, it's how gossip grows. But anyway, you tell a statement to someone, whisper it to them, and then they whisper it to someone else, and they whisper it to someone else. Now, in this case in point, the object of the game is to show how much things changes when it is whispered and stuff like that. So it's an interesting little test and experiment. But then there's the aspect of spreading information so there's propagation, so that it will spread, intentionally spread. And so when it comes to the Word of God, there is the intention on the part of our Heavenly Father that the Word grows and spreads from one person to the next. And this is what is being done whenever we go and teach someone who's not a Christian. We take the Word of God, we take the seed of the Word, we teach it to them in hopes that they will obey the gospel. God will give the increase. But even amongst those who are Christians, we must continue to spread the Word. And so Paul gives Timothy this charge to take the things that Timothy has been taught and teach these. And the things you heard from me among many witnesses, commit is the word he uses here, these to faithful men, so they can teach others also. So when we come together and we study the Word of God together, doesn't matter the sermon topic, there's a variety of topics that we have to cover. But ultimately, the point behind it is the message to increase our faith, to help us to grow, to increase our trust in the Heavenly Father. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, when we had come together, the Hebrew writer here makes an interesting point that us worshiping the Lord together and listening to His Word helps to bring about. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, how do you learn about the evidence of things not seen? Well, they're not seen, right? So how do you learn about them? You know, if I said to you, "Can you go out and watch a sunset, describe a sunset to me?" You could go out and watch a sunset, assuming it's not too overcast, and come back and say, "Hey, here's a sunset." You go look at the evidence that you can see, and then you can describe it to me. But if you're someone who's never seen a sunset, maybe someone who has been without sight all their life, you need someone to sit down with you and say, "Let me describe the sunset to you." And then you find yourself a little bit inadequate to that task because of the beauty you're trying to describe. Well, in this case in point, he talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, if it's not seen, how do you know the evidence? By the Word of God. By learning the Word of God. And whenever we come together, we help to bring about this understanding of the things not seen so that our faith in the substance of things hoped for, are based on the evidence of things not seen, will grow. He says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." How do we know that? Because of the Word of God. We study it. And then verse 6, "But faith without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." How do we know that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? How do we have the faith by which we can please God? By being taught His Word. And when we assemble together to worship God, we grow in our faith and our trust. We learn about the outcome of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 talks about this. And the outcome of our faith causes us to grow even more. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we come together to worship the Lord together, it helps our faith and our trust in God to grow. The third benefit of worshiping the Lord together is we grow in living godly. Okay? We grow in living godly before the Lord. In our Revelation study on Sunday mornings, it made a very clear distinction between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. Those who are willing to give their life for the cause of Christ, who have the seal of God upon the forehead, who will not bow their knee to the ungodliness of the world, and those over here who will bow their knee to the ungodliness of the world, to those who choose not to live godly, who choose not to serve God. There's a distinct distinction between the two. And when we come together, we are reminded of this difference, and we are reminded of how we are supposed to live before our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Titus, let's look there in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. He says, for the grace of God, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Paul is telling Timothy to teach these things, to remind the brethren of the way that they are supposed to live, soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the Lord to come again. Knowing that we are a zealous people, he has created for himself zealous, a people zealous for good works. And every time we assemble together and we partake of the Word of God, we have this reminder. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's just look at that real quick. The Apostle Peter here, chapter 1, 2 Peter. You'll notice here he lists several things that we need to be pursuing. Well, how often do you think about these things? Well, hopefully when we assemble together to worship the Lord, these things are taught, that we come to be reminded of what we're supposed to pursue. He says in 2 Peter 1, 5, but also for this very reason. Look at a few things here that we could talk about. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control, add to your self-control perseverance, add to your perseverance godliness, add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and add to your brotherly kindness love. We need these reminders. We need to be taught that if these things are yours, and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. What happens when you forget these things and you don't pursue these things? Then you become blind. You become spiritually short-sighted. And you forget that Christ has cleansed you of your sins. Therefore, brethren, verse 10 says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The takeaway is in verse 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge. Grow, if you would. And when we assemble together to worship our Heavenly Father. The teaching that is done is for this purpose, so that we might grow according to the pattern here that Peter establishes for us in the text. This is supposed to be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, if you're taking notes on that. And the last benefit we're going to talk about today of us assembling together, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, during the course of a gospel meeting multiple times, is that we are edified. We are built up. We are made stronger. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, and the context here in chapter 14 is a little bit different. He's talking about a worship service where, in this case, first century, miraculous gifts were given by the Holy Spirit and exercised within the work of the local church for the purpose of edification, for the purpose of teaching those who are lost and becoming stronger. But I want you to notice some key points that he has to remind the brethren is really what's most important. It's not whether or not you can speak in tongues. It's not whether or not you have the gift of knowledge and so forth. He said, ultimately, the point is for the benefit, the edification of the brethren. Notice there in verse number 5. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Look at verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And then verse 26, he says there in the text, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for spiritual growth, for being built up, for edification. And every time we assemble together, this is our goal, to make each and every one of us stronger, to provoke one another unto love and good works, so that we might stand in fellowship with God and before the Lord. And that brings us then to our last passage, Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, we talked a little bit earlier about the brethren here, the recipients of this letter, and their lack of growth, their unwillingness to stand up to certain challenges. There are 7 different warnings in the book of Hebrews that needs to be considered, but we won't do that right now. But I want you to notice here in Hebrews chapter 10 what he says to them. And let's start in the text there. Let's go back up to verse 19 real quick. Yeah. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He then says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He wants us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He wants us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith in verse 22. He also wants us to consider one another, to stir one another up, to provoke one another up. The Legacy Standard Bible uses the term to stimulate one another. He says, unto love and good works. This is our goal, to help one another be stronger, to help one another to grow in our faith before the Lord. And when we assemble together to worship the Lord, this is what we do. We don't abandon or forsake this thing of ourselves together. But instead, knowing that that day is approaching, and this is interesting, he says, knowing that that day is approaching, could be talking about, some suggest maybe the destruction of Jerusalem and the persecution that was going to come. But from our vantage point, we're looking for the day the Lord will come again. And so we need to be prepared for that day. So what do? We encourage one another. We provoke one another unto love and good works. We edify each other so that when the Lord comes again, we will be ready. And so that's just 4 benefits, but they are mighty benefits to assembling together to worship the Lord, whether it's on the first day of the week or every night of a gospel meeting. We come together so that we might grow in our knowledge and understanding. We come together so we might grow in our faith and trust in the Lord. We come together and worship the Lord together so that we might grow in our godly living. And we come together to worship the Lord so that we can be made strong, edified, built up, always standing up for the cause of Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, what I have just done is showed you something wonderful and glorious from His Word that you can be a part of. It's wonderful that you are here with us today, but let's make it that much better by becoming a child of God so that you will rise to walk in the newness of life and walk in fellowship with Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you need to act upon that belief today. Don't put it off. Make the decision to turn away from the sins within your life and make the public confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be buried with Him through baptism so you'll rise up then to walk in the newness of life. And then from this point forward, every time you assemble together, you will now be assembling with those of like precious faith to worship together in fellowship your wonderful Heavenly Father. But you must first become one of His children. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully. Why is that? Where's the weakness? Where's the problem? Could it be that you've not worshiped with the saints enough to increase your faith? The Hebrew writer says, not abandoning the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is. And I believe that that was part of the problem that led to their spiritual decline that called for the writer to come in and lift them up to get them back right with God. And if that's the issue within your life, you know what the change is. And we would encourage you to turn back to the Lord and come back together and let's worship Him so that we might grow together in His fellowship. If you're up to the gospel's call and invitation, would you come forward as we stand and as we sing?